You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world?
You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. If you want to get in touch, you can simply call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Thank you so much to Mr. Norm Kopeski for being here from Appleton Cigar Company. We will get all that information regarding their fundraising event on the website or on the show notes. If you want to check out the show notes or download past episodes to catch up, go to civicmedia.us/show. You can go and download episodes, listen to them wherever you'd like, whenever you'd like, at your leisure. You can also listen, get in touch with us, get your news from the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. You can download that, put it on your device. You can listen to shows. You can call. You can text. You can get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. That's all right there in the Civic Media app. And you can participate in the Text to Win contest that we have from time to time, one of which is coming up very, very soon. So there'll be more information to come on that. And then still ahead on the show today, and after the break, we're going to be speaking to Martin Alvarado from the Madison Library about all the great things happening, not just at that library, but maybe at a library near you, as well as his picks. So don't go anywhere. And then we always wrap things up with the Nightcap, where we hear from you and talk about what we've learned. So it's going to be a really fun hour. Very happy you're joining us. And then finally, not finally, but just a last little piece of, housework. I don't know what you'd say, Pete.
Tasks
or I guess, yeah.
Thank segment. You.
All those things are nominally helpful. Tomorrow in the second hour,
not helpful at all.
Well, I'm passive aggressive. Tomorrow in the second hour, we are going back into the movie club, the Nightlight Movie Club, watching the Francis Ford Coppola classic, The Outsiders, starring just a cavalcade of stars. They weren't necessarily stars then, but they were on their way, and you've heard of all of them. So that will be coming up tomorrow in the second hour. So join us, be a part of that conversation. Again, you can always call or text. We'd love to hear from you. But coming to you live from Radio Park here in Racine, my name is Greg Bach, all the way up on the coast in Marinette, Wisconsin, northeast to be specific, is Mr. Pete Schwabba. And then in Madison, Mr. Dom Lee, who is on the ones and twos. We are your Yadrahe Triangle. Very happy you're joining us. And let's get back to the question of the night. Let's restate it, and let's look at these answers. There's some good stuff in here tonight, so replay the music, my friend.
Let's go.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
The New York Knicks are going to the NBA Finals for the first time in, what'd you say, 29 years? 27 years.
How about that?
Give or take a few years, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But we want to know, what is your favorite all-time sports moment? Doesn't have to be local. Doesn't have to be something everyone knows. It could be something in your heart. Call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. Again, we're streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. And we would love to hear from you. Oh, and the other thing, too, is you can always email us, nightlight@civicmedia.us, N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E at civicmedia.us. We read all of them, and we appreciate your feedback and information very much so. There you go. All right, Pete, let's start with you. What is your favorite sports moment or moments?
I've got a few. Chris Bryant to Anthony Rizzo for the final out of the 2016 Game 7 World Series win for the Cubs.
Well, that's good. Good talking about that. Now, Dom, on to you. I'm just kidding.
It's really funny, Greg. When you leaving?
Sorry. Oh,
that's all right. I know. We've got a friendly Cubs Brewers rivalry, and you've had your share of fun with my Cubs over the last.
It'll be
years,
over so. Soon, I'm I sure. Really,
spoken like a true Brewer fan. Michael Jordan's last shot is a Bull in Game 6 against Utah.
Was that the one where he shot
he kept the pose.
And then he came and he did the thing. Is it where he was sick?
No, that was the year before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This was his last shot as a Bull. They came from behind, won in game six on the road in Utah, the sixth championship in 8 years. That was just a great moment, iconic moment. 1983, NC State over a dunk over Akeem Olajuwon, or I should say Derek Wittenberg, took a shot to win the game. It fell far short, but it went over Akeem Olajuwon's head. And I think it was Lorenzo Charles took the ball out of the air and dunked it. And this serious underdog won. It was just a spectacular game. And here's a great moment was the Badgers win over Kentucky in 2015. That was not for a championship, but it was probably the biggest win in Badger basketball history. And I've got one more.
Yeah. Okay.
I know. I got quite a list here.
Good ones.
Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson.
I remember that as a kid. I remember seeing that. I was in bowling league, and it was a Saturday, and we were talking about that. And I just said, I think Buster Douglas is going to win. And not really because I had any real knowledge of boxing. I just felt like it was time that Mike Tyson lost. You know, he had been pummeling people time after time. I'm like, someone's got to do this. And I just sort of said cheekily, I'm like, I think Buster Douglas is going to win. And then, you know, they welcomed me the next Saturday on shoulders and ticker tape. They knew it.
That's the guy that knows a lot about boxing over there. He's not a good bowler, and he knows boxing.
Yeah.
I remember I was living in this high rise in Chicago, way far north, with two roommates. It was kind of a dumpy building, but I had all my high school friends from Wisconsin down, and we're looking over the lake. We got the TV on. We set up a pool so that there was a new potential winner every 30 seconds, because that's how quickly we thought Mike Tyson was going to knock out Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
But his mom had just passed away. There was all this drama, and he took it the distance and won and then knocked out a champion. And as much as I wanted Tyson to lose, seeing a champion fall, man, there is nothing like it. It was a phenomenal event. We were going crazy. Everybody cheering for Buster Douglas. It was a great sports moment.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that's really what only he's known for. Like, he's just the guy who knocked out.
That's a true life Rocky, though. You know what I mean? Like, he just probably wanted to go the distance, and he ends up knocking out Mike Tyson. Insane.
Dom, what about you?
I got to say, back in 2021, I did this over Facebook as well, sent this over Facebook, but back in 2021, the Field of Dreams game, I was watching it live. The Sox beat the Yankees 9-8. Greatest game I ever watched. Watched with a bunch of friends in one of my buddies' basement. It was amazing. We freaked out. We ran outside. I took my tarp off and was ready to go.
Your tarp?
My shirt.
You're
wearing back up there a second. Oh,
you know what, buddy? Don't do that. Don't just be like. Don't just say a word and think we know.
Oh, we need another brain rot quiz.
Wait, you call your wait? Hold. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to derail this whole thing here, Pete. Help me out here. This isn't something I missed the boat on. Like, tarp is not a word for shirt that, like, has been used for a long time that I'm just finding out about now.
Really?
You really never heard that before?
Eight.
No, I've never heard that. Oh. I've never heard tarp. Well, I kind of like it. It's a kind of sorry I didn't think about it.
I went outside and I threw my smoking jacket off and I was like, hurrah, hurrah. For the White Sox of Chicago have beaten the Yankees of New York.
I didn't just, I yanked it off and I ran outside.
You yanked it off?
I yanked it off. Ooh.
I took off my denim tubes and threw them, and then I ran through the streets joyously. 'Twas a gay night.
Do they still do the Field of Dream game still? Because that for me would be a bucket list. Absolutely. I don't know if they do them anymore, but I know they must be. They are probably like ridiculously expensive.
Oh, I don't think they do anymore.
I've been there. It's tiny.
You've been there?
So I have to imagine that tickets were like squillions and squillions of dollars.
And that's why the game was so good. There was homer after homer. The field was so small that it was just constant action each inning. It was great. That's awesome. It was great.
It's cool that you were with your friends, too. Like, when you're with a group, oh, man, that just makes it amazing.
Senior producer Tucker just dropped this in our chat. I thought you were talking about, like, a tarp for the roof of your house or something. That's what I thought, too.
I don't care if we have mold, honey. Get the tarp off.
Did you thrift that tarp? I'm not sure. Okay. All right.
Hey, they're called tarps now.
I only really have a couple, like, only two, and I already mentioned one just now. And, well, last year, I went to a Brewers game where we won at the last second. It was, I mean, I don't even remember who we were. I think we were playing the Giants. And I went to this game with our very good buddy, Dan Schaefer. And Contreras came up.
Wilson Contreras.
Wilson.
Or William.
William. His brother plays for another team, and he's a sassy boy. He doesn't like being hit by balls because he plays baseball. One in the last inning, and that was, I mean, we went absolutely mad, and I thought that was the greatest Brewers game I ever went to until I went to this one this past couple weeks ago that I mentioned earlier with Norm from Appleton Cigar, where it was, we got there at the beginning, we stayed until the end, extra innings, the Brewers absolutely destroyed it, it was awesome, we were hoarse, we were screaming and yelling, and so it was great. So much fun, and then the other one that I wasn't there for, but I watched it. My wife got me into hockey. We used to be very big into hockey, the both of us. She very much so. But this was game six of the Stanley Cup in 2013, Chicago Blackhawks versus the Boston Bruins. 2-1 in game six with 1:16 left in the period, and the Blackhawks scored twice in 17 seconds. And there's this meme or GIF that goes around of all these people in a bar, and they'll like put different images on the TV and they all go nuts together. But that's from the Blackhawks game when they score and they win. And it was insane. It was so cool. Yep.
Listen, that run the Hawks went on. I mean,
three Stanleys in 5 years.
And I remember posting all my friends and I said, this is amazing. I wish I liked hockey. Yeah. Because it was like, I felt kind of like an outsider. You know, that was great.
If you ever have a chance, go to a hockey game.
I know.
NHL game. It is mind-blowingly fun. So much fun.
That's what people say, for sure.
I talked a lot. I'm sorry about that one.
What do we do here, Greg? What are we doing here?
I know, but there are people who have given us their heartfelt ideas on their favorite sports moments, and we should get to those right meow.
We got quite a few here. We got Brett from Brown Deer texting and says, my all-time favorite sports moment is every time the Brewers beat the Cubs with Craig Counsell, especially in Chicago. Pete, what do you say to that?
That must be sweet. I get it, dude. Look, there's a lot of Cub fans that don't like him as a manager, and I think he's considered a pretty good manager. I don't know. I mean, Joe Maddon, speaking of the World Series, he did his best to lose game seven. And that irritated me. Counsell's a better, I don't know. I don't know if it's because he used to be the manager of the Brewers and there's that rivalry, but whatever it is, I don't get it.
I mean, the thing is, I personally feel like with Craig Counsell, he's so understated and so quiet and so serious that I feel like you think he's not a good manager or whatever. He's actually one of the best managers in baseball. And I've been saying this since the moment he left the Brewers and after his first season. This is not the end for him. He is much better than people think. And I think that, you know, I think he's going to have some good days with the Cubs for as long as he's with them because he's a great manager. And I was mad at him for like 24 hours. Then I got over it.
Would you want him back, though, instead of Pat Murphy?
No, I want Pat Murphy. I love Pat Murphy. Yeah. Pat Murphy is perfection, in my opinion. He's everything.
He's fantastic.
I think that, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't say it now, but if you ask him about the locker room vibe of Craig Counsell versus Pat Murphy, because Craig Counsell just always seemed mad. He always seems angry. But he wins. He's
and
not
Pat Murphy's
right
hilarious. He's a fun guy.
Yeah, he's a very fun guy. He's a very fun guy. And I'm happy to have him. Two-time NL Manager of the Year. But yeah, we're going to get to more of your thoughts on this question, which is, what's your favorite all-time sports moment in celebration of the Knicks going to the NBA Finals for the first time in nearly three decades? Let us know your thoughts. Call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can always leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, a great conversation with Martin Alvarado from the Madison Public Library about his picks and what's happening at maybe a library near you. So don't go anywhere. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Network and Greg Bach. I'm Greg Bach, too. I'm on the show as well. Stay tuned. Stay close.
Nice, Tom.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Call or text. We can also get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. You can also go to the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Our question of the night is, what's your favorite all-time sports moment? Let us know. We have lots to get through. We just had a laundry list of our own personal ideas. Like, so let's get right back into this. Dom, you did the one from Brett, but let's keep it moving with Karen from Racine.
Absolutely. Karen from Racine said the 57 Braves.
Okay. All right.
Milwaukee Braves. Very nice.
My grandmother worked at County Stadium when that happened.
Wow. Beautiful.
And nice. We also got my mom, Christine, says the best was when the Fridge Perry made a touchdown from the Bears. Back then, he was known as big, but now he would probably be just thought of as normal or not.
How about
as
that? Undersized, even.
Probably. Yeah.
Insane.
Which is. William, can you gain a little weight, please? We need to like.
But then you got to read what your mom tagged it with.
Yeah. What did Mama Lee say?
She said, "And no AI for my Dom." Oh my gosh, that is so. That deserves.
It's about the sweetest thing.
You're a little Italian stallion. Yeah. Yeah. A little Italian stallion. Jimmy Caesar here gets no AI. All right, let's keep moving on for this.
Yep, we got Eric listening in from Madison. Says Badgers winning Rose Bowl in 1994. The program was really down late 80s, early 90s, big for Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yep, that was great. Mm-hmm.
We got Robert from Lacrosse saying, when in 2021, the Lacrosse Curling Club sent its first team to national championships.
Love
it's gotta be pretty cool. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Love those offbeat sports too. That's fantastic.
I love that.
Right. We got Monica.
I can't wait for Dom to try to pronounce this next one.
I know. I'm scared. Monica from Mount Horeb says Nadia Comaneci getting the first perfect 10 in gymnastics in 1976. Thanks, Pete. I could do it.
Come in, yay. Come in.
Comaneci. I love Nadia Comaneci.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's a great story.
In the big way. I had a big crush on her.
Yeah, she. Okay.
All right. We're going to
make Greg feel awkward. Oh, wow. Too much information, Schwab.
Hey, no, it's fine. I'm sure she was. I was not even born at that point, so.
Let's see what else we got here. We got Brett from Brown Deer texting in. A little bit different than the question of the night, but said the Trump phone made with American values in mind has a U.S. flag on it with 11 stripes. Might be American values in mind, but those are Chinese hands making them. Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to say now that the word Trump Mobile are the last stripes. They're like, nice save. Nice save.
It was a great sports moment.
Yeah. Good save, it's a sports moment.
The moment where I kicked my Trump Mobile phone into Lake Michigan.
Better.
The uprights.
Yeah. We got John Murray, says, so the Bears 1985 Super Bowl, and how much did Michael Jordan and the Bulls spoil us? So a long drought after all that, and then the Cubs win a pennant like a boss. All great moments that stick. And then he also says game six shot was like magic. Yes. And then he also said, couldn't close my mouth the first time I saw Dr. J dunk over a center 10 inches taller than him with a red, white, and blue rubber ball.
Ooh, the ABA, baby. The ABA. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
I think one here from Luke that we missed. I want to get that one, too. He says, the shot Christian Laettner made over Kentucky. Duke versus Kentucky. That's Luke in Madison. Thank you, Luke. I still hate Duke so much, but that was an amazing moment.
And Kentucky, honestly. We got Annie from Watertown says, favorite sports.
College.
Favorite sports moment when my son said after 2 years high school football, maybe it's not a good idea to get concussions.
That's a great sports moment.
That's a smart young man there, Annie. Very smart young man.
Very nice.
So smart Greg had to go 50s press.
That's right. I'm working here at the printing press here. And let me tell you something. The cigar shop down the street, they're doing a really good event. All right.
Full stop.
All right. Let's save the last couple, too. Let's get to the Facebook messages from Pete. And I got some of mine as well. But, we're still reading these messages. You can let us know. The question of the night is, what is your favorite all-time sports moment? Call or text. And, Pete, read a couple. So then we actually have a phone call.
Yeah, these are awesome. Oh, let's take the call. Let's get the call in.
It's Ollie from the North Woods.
Hey.
Ollie, what's going on, my friend?
Well, I have to tell you my all-time favorite sports thing was probably in the 1990s, and it was the Vikings game that my dad actually gave up watching so he could finally fix dinner for my mom instead of her always fixing dinner for him and trucking it into the living room in front of his game.
Ollie, are you trying to make me cry? That is absolutely beautiful.
I just thought, that's the thing that I remember the most was the year that I came home and he actually was fixing dinner for her instead of her having to take the food into him so he could watch his games all the time.
How did it taste? Was it good?
I'm sure it was.
What an interesting follow-up, Pete.
When we were kids, made bread even.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Very,
that's
very nice.
That's awesome, well, Ollie.
Thank you so much, Ollie, for calling in. Always appreciate hearing from you, our friend. Seriously, have yourself a great night. Take care, Ollie.
Okie doke. All right, bye-bye.
Okie doke.
I love, too, that's like a peripheral sports. It's out of sports that this moment came, if not on the court or the field. Thank you, Ollie. Stacy Sue says, when Brett Favre went in to replace Magic Man Don Majkowski. Man. I remember that very well. New career was born. Incredible. Janet agrees with her. That was a great moment. Stacy Sue also says, also when my dad, Ivor Johnson, got a hole-in-one at North Shore Golf Club. That's up here in Menominee out in the county.
Nice.
That's fantastic. That's got to be something. You shoot a hole-in-one?
My father-in-law was an avid golfer, and he shot at least one. I think he shot two, but like I couldn't even imagine. I would never golf again. I'd be like, I'm done.
I couldn't do it on a mini golf course, sadly.
No,
I don't even get the birdies.
Cash Money Carlo would be so disappointed.
Cash Money Carl would be so. And then Stacy Sue also says, anytime the Brewers beat the Scubs, doggone it, Stacy Sue.
I'm not encouraging this, I promise you. Good sportsmanship all around. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. But when we come back from the news, we'll be talking to Martin Alvarado from the Madison Public Library about his picks and what's going on in the library possibly near you. So don't go anywhere. Stick around. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. As always, get in touch. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we have the Nightcap for you. So don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about what we've learned and get to more of your comments on tonight's question. What is your favorite all-time sports moment? You can always get in touch, let us know. Got some more time left, but now it's time to welcome to the show our second guest of the evening, returning friend of the show. He is the community engagement librarian for the Madison Public Library. Martin Alvarado is back talking about books, talking about what's happening at the library. Martin, welcome back, friend. Thank you so much for being here this evening.
Oh, it's great to be back. And just happy summer to everyone. It just feels that way at this point. And that's apropos of the fact that one of the greatest American traditions, summer reading, is almost going to be full in force. I think the drop comes on June 1st. And it's really interesting. I have like all these fun memories. I think I was more interested in getting the pizza than reading when I was a kid. But I think whatever gets you reading is a good thing. And there's all sorts of fun things that libraries have planned out. There's also reading for clubs for adults now, where you get like little prizes and milestones. So it's like, okay, why not keep doing that all your life? And kudos to the libraries who do that. One of the cool things that I noticed is that a bunch of libraries, one of the national themes is unearth your story or unearth a story. And they're going to be focusing on dinosaurs, archaeology, just all sorts of things that have to do with digging in the ground. So I always think it's cool when it involves like not going beyond the books.
And the
one that I like that we want to call out is Eau Claire at the L.E. Phillips Library. They're hosting a Merry Medieval Fair on Saturday, June 6th from 10 to 2. A lot of performers making candles, swordplay, etc., wool spinning. But to ensure the celebration remains safe and fun for everyone, the library wishes to remind the public that the building and grounds are strictly combat-free zones. All guests are kindly asked to leave their weapons, including foam swords, plastic shields, and any other replicas safely tucked away in their distant homeland. I think that's usually what I do before I head over here to Nightlight. I make sure I'm not carrying any foam swords.
Oh, you can bring swords and clubs and maces. Like, that'd be half the fun, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You've got a lot going on, specifically in Milwaukee. It's Lessons from Milwaukee's Grassroots Response to AIDS. Tell us about some of the Pride events going on at the libraries across the state.
So that one is happening in Madison, and we're very lucky to have a Milwaukee-based historian who is going to be looking at how the LGBTQ, the gay community, essentially during the 80s, at the height of the AIDS crisis, they didn't have any resources. They weren't given sometimes even like any legal protections, and just how they figured out how to make it through. A lot of them didn't, but these are gaining on I think what has come up with a much more significance in these days that are more turbulent is how do we make it so our community is safe so that we can take care of each other. People are having trouble paying bills. They might be facing some uncertainties. So it's, I think, taking those lessons and knowing that there were people who made it through who were faced with really difficult situations. And also, I think looking at the library as a place where people of all identities have been able to find a place where they can find themselves reflected in the books. And I think more importantly, knowing that if they check out any book from the library or anything, that is completely confidential and private and protected by state law, which back in the day, you wouldn't want to be outed for picking up a certain book. And that's been, I think, one of the things that, regardless of who you are, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity, having that assurance that you have a space where your data isn't mined and being sold and everything, where what you do, what you want to read more about, explore, just stays there is just, I think, one of the core things that ties in with Pride Month.
Mm. I think you mentioned this before, but Martine, please repeat that. When you go to the library, not only are you safe to check out what you want, but your data and your information, because that's something like, besides like, you know, we fortunately right now we live in a world where no one's getting picked up for the books they're getting from the library or from online. But we see a lot of companies that are buying up information on folks, ID, data mining, things, and you don't do that, right?
No, it's state law. And at least in Wisconsin, and I think around the country, there needs to be a court order for that to be released. Just a quick anecdote from around 2001 after September 11th, the FBI started sending all these letters to libraries. They wanted to know who had checked out what and what. The libraries weren't allowed to say, we've had a letter from the FBI, but some libraries that were really clever put out a sign that said, we have not received a letter from the FBI. And then if the librarians took the sign down, then it was a hint of like, oh, I think maybe something happened.
Yeah. So
all sorts of creative ways, I think, just people find to face all these challenges.
Absolutely. I think that's important for people to know, especially in today's day of you know, data mining everything. I mean, what else is going on in whether it's in Madison or, I mean, you sent this lovely list of all these different things happening in libraries all across the state. Is there anything that sticks out that you want to talk about right now?
Well, quickly, also just along the theme of Pride and Wisconsin Rapids, on also on Thursday, June 11th, 2026 at 6:30, two editors, Margaret Mooney and Margaret McMurray, and are going to be talking about just a pioneering group of people, the lesbian moms of the 1980s, 1990s, and 2000s in the Madison area. I think they were taking a lot of risks, but who doesn't take risks for their family and for being able to live who they are? So I think it's interesting because now we're looking at the history of something that happened within our lifetimes, but now it's something that's talked about in history books and memoirs and everything. So for me, it's just, being able to place it in its context. It's something that's been around families forever, but now all this progress that people did in the past has set it up so that people can be more free, generations can live with a little bit less fear. But despite everything that's happening right now, I think there's a good history that people can look back on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our guest is Martine Alvarado, who is the business and technology librarian at the Madison Public Library, but he has his finger on the pulse of libraries around the state. He joins us once a month here to talk books and events happening at your local library. Martine, let's talk about road trips. This is some great book talk. You shared this with us, and what do you recommend? Like either what you've heard or what you've read yourself. I don't expect you to read every book that you send us on these lists. I certainly haven't, but what do you recommend? What's the first thing that comes to your mind in regard to road trip books?
I want to recommend two books that are either going to be hot off the press or being published in a couple of weeks or so, because I think one of the really quintessential parts about a road trip is you get to see parts of the country at street level. You get to experience what people are going through. You get to go through places literally that are off the beaten path. And you can really, I think it lends itself to a lot of internal monologue because you're on the road, you're thinking about things trigger, you learn about things. If you're kind of a nerd, you might insert a bunch of history. The one that caught my eye was Midwestern Death Trip, which is a memoir of a woman who was having some difficulties, just maybe not fitting in and then just goes with a, I love when people pick vintage cars like a Cadillac and then just start going around and poking around different corners. Yeah. And just, I think it references this other book that's very interesting about Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Death Trip book that came out many years ago, where they have all these people in funerals. So she takes that aesthetic, because she was kind of a goth, safe to say, and then just applies that part. So there's her internal monologue, all the things that she's read about, and then the people she's encountering right now that are very different from maybe the people who were there, or maybe there are some similarities. So I think anything that takes us there. The other one, called Monster of a Land, that is coming out on June 16th, is a woman from, I think, where is she coming from? She's doing basically the Austin.
She's from Shamrock, Texas?
The Austin area part of things, and also like a very different setting than the Midwest, and also another woman traveling singly with her dog, and taking a cue from Travels with Charlie, which was John Steinbeck's trip when he was just knowing that his days were numbered. He goes from New York all the way around the country and then comes back through the South to New York and just really has a chance to talk to people. And both of them remark is, when you have a dog, it's like your best calling card. It's your best like way of opening up a conversation. Just show up with your dog and people open up. And I think just being able to have those conversations, knowing you're an outsider, people will sometimes tell you interesting things. And then, just anything that takes you on the road. I have to also call out Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Just an amazing book. I think the movie version actually does it pretty good justice. But just to capture the entirety of Hunter S. Thompson, you have to read the man to really take in. And it's, you can't really, as much as the special effects in the movie were cool, you can't really grasp like the enormity of what Hunter was writing. And I was going to say, since this is I know you both are movie buffs, like, let's do a quick round. I'm going to throw out Easy Rider as one of my favorite road movies.
There you go. I did not see that movie until later in life, and I'm like, oh, I'll sit down and watch it. And by the time it was over, I'm like, this is so sad and depressing. Oh, my goodness. Fear and Loathing Las Vegas, both the book and the movie are so much for me. I'm still a fan of Hunter S. Thompson, but I really delved into it. I had like read a lot of his books, and Fear and Loathing is the apex for me. To quote him, it's the high water mark. I mean, he's got other great books, but that one is just absolutely mind blowing. Like you keep on asking yourself, when is it going to end? When are you guys going to because they are just so out of, just insane on drugs, but you're like, the way he writes about it is so beautiful too. And all there to watch, they're supposed to be there to watch a race.
Yeah. And I think I think the excuse is what gets you on the road. And then what happens on the road is kind of like the magic of all these tales.
I would like to recommend one too, Martine. I don't know if you've ever read On the Road. That's one of my all time favorite books. I've read it four or five times. Jack Kerouac.
Classic.
And it I'm glad you think so. One of the books you shared here, On the Road in Search of Modern America, that's kind of what On the Road was in the 1940s when jazz was new, or at least new to white people, and all these. It was just such a great, I love the characters. I lose myself in the book, and some of his passages about the only ones for me are the mad ones, mad to talk, mad to live, like so great. I highly recommend that if you're looking for a road trip book as well.
And I think it's great. You can pick up a road trip book, whether you're staying at home, whether you're at the beach, whether you're on the road. It might be a great... The Lost Children Archive is one of my favorite recommendations. It's the story of this couple that records soundscapes, but it also ties into children that are being separated from their families on the southern border. So it has that immediacy, and it has like the desolation of the desert, plus the relationship sort of breaking down. So it's a good one. The Archive of Lost Children by Valeria Luiselli.
Thank you very much. I was going to ask you to repeat that one. And we will make sure that all of this information is in our show notes, including if you check out your local library, please. It's a great resource. And that's the thing, too, is like whether you're young, old, boy, girl, doesn't matter. And doesn't matter who you vote for. The library is there for you to learn and to engage and to be a part of something great in the community. Martine Alvarado is the community engagement librarian for the Madison Public Library. He is here every single month. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us this month, Martine. Have yourself a wonderful evening.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Have a great June.
Thanks, Martine.
You as well.
Too.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into the nightcap where we read more of your responses to our question of the night. What is your favorite all-time sport moment? And then we will be talking about what we learned. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay close. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's time to wind it down. Let's take a moment to look back and ask, what did we learn today? This is Nightcap with Greg and Pete.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. We're coming to you live from all over the state. I am Greg Bach, coming live from Radio Park in Racine, all the way up in Marinette, Wisconsin, is Mr. Pete Schwabe. And in Madison is Dom Lee on the ones and twos. We are your Yadre Hay Triangle. So happy you're joining us this evening. We are officially in the nightcap, where we hear from you on the text line, on the live stream, and on the phone. We got a phone call from our friend Greg in Waukesha tonight's question. What is your favorite sports moment of all time? Greg, good evening. Welcome to the show. How can we help you? What is your favorite moment?
Well, it's your favorite blind listener ever. Anyway.
You don't know that, Greg. You don't know that.
Well, I guess I don't. Okay.
You are.
I tokenized myself. Anyway. My favorite sports moment ever was in 1997, we went to the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame, and we ended up going to a preseason game. It was the Packers versus the Patriots. And if you guys recall, that was the rematch game because the Packers and the Patriots, I believe, played in the 1996 Super Bowl. And we're not going to get seats for this game. We sat right behind the New England Patriots kicker. But, hey, at least we had seats, and that was one of my favorite sports moments. And rest in peace, Bob Uecker. So that's absolutely what I wanted to say. And you guys have a good night. Take care, okay?
Thank you,
you
Greg.
You too, Greg. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate hearing from you. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Actually, before we get to the text and to the Facebook, we do have some live stream comments that have been here for a while. Let's get to those as well. Dave on the live stream says the 1993 Rose Bowl.
Yes.
My dad played in the 1960 Rose Bowl. Holy cow. It was so cool. We beat Michigan State in Japan to clinch the Big Ten title. The memories just rolled out. Sydney
that
Politics
awesome.
Says, and by the way, happy New Year, Sydney. Yeah. Devin Hester running back the Super Bowl kickoff for a touchdown, and Anthony Joshua knocking out Jake Paul. Happy New Year. And every game the Celtics lose.
Oh,
and
I'm then, with you, Sid.
And then a lovely little bromance here. Sydney Politics says, sup, Dave? And then Dave says, Sid, what is up? I love that. People make friends here.
Dave's dad was the coach at Marinette High School.
Oh, my God. He played it.
Dave is from Marinette. Yeah, that's
cool.
A great.
Love
93
it.
Rose Bowl is awesome.
Cool. Dom, what do we have left on the text messages?
Still got quite a few. We got John Murray texting and says, watch Greg Norman drain a shot from the bunker at the Western Open at Cog Hill in Illinois. The bunkers there are deep bowls and the players can't see out of. He was 30 feet away and absolutely lost it when he drained the perfect shot. He then broke the course record and lost to Nick Price, who also birdied on a par three. Stunning. Wow.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
Okay. We said sports moment. I don't know if golf.
Wow.
Dang. My
kidding,
mom would be
John.
Upset if you said that. Ooh. Oh, make Jackie mad.
We got Jason from West Dallas says, my moment was Hulk Hogan body slamming Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3.
Okay. Yeah, we can talk about that later.
We also got Annie from Watertown saying, a Packers game, Milwaukee.
She literally texted,
she did. Packers game, Milwaukee County Stadium, late 1970s, game stopped. There were so many paper programs made into airplanes covering the field. Oh, yeah. The crowd was going
back
wild.
Back in the day, Dom, there were paper programs.
I didn't know that. But, yes, Packers phone. Games were that boring. Anyone else still alive that was there other than my sister and bro-in-law? Nice. Let's see what else we got. He also says, Andy from Waterton says, who doesn't take risks to raise their family? Pretty much everyone. With the cry face.
It's true, but yeah. I would say that lesbian moms and gay fathers, I would say that they also take huge risks. We just, you know. Yeah. Yeah. I get that, but
yeah. Let's see what else we got. Jake from Madison saying favorite sports moment is Badgers beat undefeated Kentucky to go to men's basketball title game in 2015. Favorite team and my favorite sport. Really good.
Right on, Jake.
Awesome.
Nice. Yes.
And then Anna says my favorite sport moment is the Miracle on Ice with the U.S. hockey team in the 1980. I mean, wow.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on right there. What do we got on the Facebook page there, Pete?
Stacy Sue says, just watching Muhammad Ali. That's a great one. Mike Desitel says, does Bob Uecker doing beer commercials count? Sure. It's sports. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sean Boyce says, Miracle on Ice. As much as the team played the way Herb Brooks led them as anything else, no extraneous hype needed. Modern equivalent would be a decent D1 football program playing the 78 Steelers. And then finally, Emerson Lehman, our pal from WBAY in Green Bay, says the finish to the 2026 Indianapolis 500. Emerson's a big racing fan. That's fantastic.
I got a couple here on my Facebook page. Here, see Joe with some lofty thoughts here. The Lions winning Super Bowl 61. Mm. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Chad, this is Randy Johnson vaporizing the pigeon.
Oh, wow. That was something.
That's so sad. And he won't talk about it to this day. He hates when people bring it up. okay. Ryan says, at least we know it won't be interrupted by O.J. Simpson and the infamous White Bronco. All right. Good reference. Good reference right there. We did have one more left from John Murray in Madison. It's a little bit longer one, but we do have time. Dom, do you want to read that one really quick regarding the Blue Jays?
Just read chapter one, John.
Yeah, exactly.
1978, St. Joseph Blue Jays boys basketball team won the Diocesan Conference Championship in Aurora, Illinois. Okay, whatever. The Blue Jays class size of 33. All their schools were topping out. It was crazy. You know, everyone turned on the radio. It was amazing. Never forget that feeling at the end of the day. That's what
nice.
We had
a moment like that in Marinette, an actual Hoosier moment, 1964. There was a big picture on the wall. We beat Xavier, I think, for the state championship.
Nice. Love those moments. I'm surprised you didn't have that on your list.
I wasn't even born yet. But a great moment, folks, nonetheless.
We got to get on out of here, but tomorrow we'll be talking to Mike Clemens about all things sports, probably specifically some Packer sports as well, so stick around for that. And we'll be talking Brewers as well, but that'll be in the first hour. And then Nightlight Movie Club, we'll be talking about The Outsider, so watch it. Get in touch with us. Let us know, but we'll all be right back here tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat station. Thank you so much, everyone who called, texted, left a comment on the live stream. We really appreciate you. Engineering Traffic, Dom and Tucker, thank you for all the work you do. It's time to skip on out of here, but listen to more programming after we're done. It's fun. It's Civic Media. Pete, say goodnight to the people.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.